It is April 20th, 2023. It's Ask Us Anything. And of course, I'm Benjamin, and Spirit Song is joining us.
Yay!
Welcome,
I
baby.
haven't been here a while, and I'm so happy to be here tonight
Yeah.
with you all.
So, can y'all hear her okay too? So, I'm getting some yes, thumbs up. Good, right. Good. Okay. So we now start all events with at least a quick little ally call-in to set up a safe container. So give me just a sec to do that, and then we'll open it up for questions. And this is the quick version. I will get to light my candle though, so let me just squat down and do that real quick. Okay, so allies, please come. Leave just a moment for them to come on in. They and I have agreed on the shortcut. Just a moment longer. They kind of filter in. As they were coming as fast as we can. Yeah.
Feeling
I think our spirit song, you're welcome to call yours as well as a group if you wish.
You want me to call them out loud? Do you do that? You're just inviting me to
If you
in.
would, if you can call yours like just all at once, you know,
Sure. Yeah.
yeah.
And I didn't know if you meant speak it out loud or just like you're doing.
Whatever gets it done quickly, yeah. Okay, I think we're good. So, allies, please create a membrane around this good energy to hold this good energy in our container and to ensure that all that enters here is of high vibration and benevolent intent. So it is.
So it is.
Good. Container's strong. If anyone wants to silently call in any additional allies, you're welcome to do that as we open it up. As long as they're of high vibration and benevolent intent, they're welcome. Alrighty, so this is Ask Us Anything, and it's a Q&A. So we've got four people on the call. Welcome to Jan and Jeannie and Pam and Stephanie. So anyone, just unmute yourself and talk. So jump in. We got plenty of time for everybody. So Jan, hi.
I had some questions left over, so I wrote them all down, and I'd like to probably ask one at a time and somebody else jump in so I don't
That
have
sounds
to go.
great. All right, so jump in with your first.
Okay. What does triggered mean?
Triggered means I'm feeling some kind of challenge. So if I'm triggered, that means I've got some kind of disruption in my field. It could be, it's usually, trigger usually refers to an emotional challenge, especially. So when I say triggered, I'm inevitably saying I've got a challenging emotion coming up. So that's the answer to that.
And may I add something?
Sure.
It's usually in response to something that's happening. It isn't
Okay.
always, but a lot of times something is happening in your environment that triggers a response in you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Good. You're welcome. Okay. Who's next? It looks like Jeannie is unmuted. Jeannie, you want to jump in?
Wanted to say I'm so excited that Spirit Song's here.
Hi,
You must be
Jeannie.
feeling better. Your knee must be doing pretty good.
It is getting better. I'm so thankful. That's been one of the most challenging things I've ever worked with, but it's
I've
coming.
had a knee thing for a very long time, and I have similar back things to you, so I get it, and I'm just thrilled to see you. It's so good. Thank you. in here.
Thank you. Thank you all for your support and prayers while I've been going through this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
it was
you.
worth it. Look at you. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, I just that's all I have right now.
Okay, thanks, Jeannie.
Oh, thank you, Jeannie. Oh, so sweet.
It's like Pam is unmuted. Pam, what do you got?
I got same thing as Jeannie said. It's lovely to see you, and I'm glad you're so much better.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. I have lots of questions, but I'll start with this one.
Okay.
Or maybe it's not even a question, but last night I was on the shamanic call, and it's the first time I've done one.
Uh-huh.
And the healing intention I asked for was instantaneously answered within 30 minutes.
Whoa, that's amazing.
And I had to get off the call.
Okay.
So I asked the allies, you know, so I wouldn't disrupt anything. And it was a story about the dental insurance we're getting that we have in California here. They supply insurance for all kinds of like teachers, unions, the state workers and such, and they haven't given the dentists a raise in 10 years.
Whoa.
So a lot of dentists here are not taking any of those patients anymore.
Oh, wow.
And so the issue was that I was starting to feel like I was being resented because I had this insurance, yet my dentist was still carrying it.
Mm-hmm.
And the receptionist I went to have my teeth cleaned and I had a question about my bill this was on Tuesday, and the receptionist was so stressed. And I had a question, and she goes, I'm not going to tell you that right now. And I was just like stunned. Like, I was patient. I even changed my appointment to help them out. I let them write. So I was trying to be, I also set up the field before I went to the office. And how I did that was I first through my own calming down about my anxiety going because of the insurance deal, calming that down. I think I did my highest embodied awakening, but I also then sent light and love ahead to the office. I asked angels to go ahead of me, go ahead of my appointment, light up the entire office, every corner, and surround each staff member with love.
Wow.
Wow.
And so I got the best care I'd ever had.
Whoa.
I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing. The hygienist was excellent. The dentist even did a little extra thing without charging me, which I was surprised by, but he did it. It was awesome. But when I came out to have a question about my bill and stuff, that's when the fireworks started. Well, anyway, so during the the shamanic work, I just said, heal this anxiety, this riff, and completely. And immediately and permanently for highest good. And 30 minutes later, this receptionist called me to apologize.
Wow.
For her behavior the day before.
Okay.
And to explain to me that we weren't considered less than because we had, you know, this particular insurance. Because I said, this is how I feel. I get anxious coming in because I know that this is troubling to the dentist and so forth, even though it's not my responsibility. I still feel this way and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it was a good conversation. And she said, you know, I really respect you as a patient because first of all, you took my call. And many, many of the other patients won't even do that. They won't accept my call. So anyway, I just wanted you to know that was incredible.
Wow.
And I will repeat it. I will go and do the whole thing again because I missed the most important part to me was a longer duration of embodied awakening to happen. So I don't want to chew up too much time because I want to have another question that I want to formulate better. But
okay.
I just wanted you to know that was incredible.
Thank you. Wow. That's great. Yeah, I posted the call, so it's up there waiting on you.
Yeah.
So. Cool. Thank you. That's a great story. Thank you, Pam. So Stephanie has not yet asked. So Stephanie, you're next in line if you have a question.
Hi there.
Hi.
Lovely to meet you. I knew this work. I have not quite finished the book yet, so I'm a little hesitant to ask anything because it might be answered okay. in the book. So some patience. But I attended the ceremony last night, and my big problem is, without going into a lot of detail, I'm just really angry at my work situation, and I have been for a while.
Yeah.
And all I wanted to do was rage last night and just get my anger out. And I'm not sure if that's okay during the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
The part, the music part, not the invocation part.
Right.
I've done the balcony exercise a couple of times. There's been some relief, uh-huh. but I guess I was asking if the raging was okay during the music part.
Well, did the raging come up spontaneously? Did it just need to erupt out and clear while the music was happening?
Yeah, that was the intention.
Yeah. So what I would say is, if you came in there intending to rage, that's not really what it's about. But if you called for healing and then mm-hmm. as the thing progressed, then rage erupted out and asked to be cleared, mm-hmm. then like I said, you can shout and scream and dance around and shake around and whatever you need to do. If you need to rage as part of a true healing release, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I asked for some relief with my work situation. So I know during the invocation part, you say you need to not feel anything or do anything, but I need to feel my anger.
No, I never said you, no, my instruction actually was that you should allow everything into the space that wants to arise.
Okay.
But the simplest instruction was to just be present with whatever you are feeling and mm-hmm. to prioritize the sensations in your body over any thoughts or images.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want to, it's a negative emotion and I'm worried about it.
No, but that's what we're here. But Stephanie, that's what we're there to heal. Those have to come up and be felt to be cleared once and for all.
And that's unique to that particular work that you're doing that night.
Well, no, I mean, anytime we do healing, that's okay.
Right. But yeah, healing work specifically, but I think I know what she's talking about.
So if I'm missing
her
nuance, then jump in. Yeah.
When you invite people to start in a regular, on a lot of the regular calls, you say nothing to do, relax,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's different than when you're doing the intensive healing work.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So, So was my answer clear, Stephanie, or is there still?
Yeah, I understand. I just want to make that clarification because I know during the invocation, you're supposed to relax and let the healing flow through you. And I do feel it, but when the music started, it's just like, gosh, I just need to channel I just need to feel my anger. I mean,
yeah. So whatever arises spontaneously is fine.
Okay.
And if you need to feel rage, if that's what's repressed and there needs release, then by all means, feel the rage. Feel whatever comes up when we're doing any kind of healing process. You know, don't repress anything. The thing not to do is to say, I am now from my ego choosing to focus on rage and mm-hmm. have it be the ego's decision. Okay.
Okay.
Whereas if we start doing healing work and all of a sudden that comes up, then absolutely that's what you need to feel because that's what's clearing. You do have to feel it to heal it. Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with that at all. And again, I'll add in addition, there may be times when we're doing just a little sweet process like an embodied awakening invocation, and mm-hmm. You may feel rage come up or any kind of negative emotion. And mm-hmm. what the allies will sometimes do, if there's some heavy energy in the way of that divine being able to come into you, then they do uh-huh. need to stir that up and flush it away to make room. So you might even feel rage or challenging emotions, even when we're doing something like the embodied awakening invocation. And that's fine.
Okay. And
to be super clear, nothing should be repressed. Feel whatever comes up, but let the divine handle it for you.
Yeah.
Is that clear?
Okay.
Yeah. So you All did right. nothing wrong. And I'm really glad the rage came up because obviously it was coming up to be cleared.
Yes. That's what I kind of thought too.
Yeah. So well done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I will get off. I'll talk a little bit. I'll give someone else a chance for a bit, okay?
Yeah, as long as your question is fully answered.
That question's fully answered. I have some other comments.
Yeah, we're going to go around. A lot of people have a lot of questions, so we'll cycle around, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Welcome. Did you have anything to add before?
No, babe.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, Jan, your turn again.
Okay. So I'm when I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing, and I feel like I get done too fast. Like I'm doing one of the speeches and then I'm done. I feel like I should have been in my body more or something. I don't really have a handle on what I'm supposed to do, I guess.
Could you give me a specific example?
I would read Maximum Healing That Serves Highest Good, please.
Uh-huh.
Then I would look around and wait to see what's happening, what I should do. But I don't. And then when I see that I'm not doing what I was supposed to do, I move on to the next one.
Okay, so let's be clear. There's four versions of the healing invocation. Which mm-hmm. version are you giving an example of?
I wrote it on this. Can you see this?
You don't have your video on, so I can't see anything.
There's something beside.
It's an index card folder.
No, this is Jan, and she's black.
Okay. Well, I just saw
Well, Jan, something. You don't have your camera on, and there's nothing I can see.
I thought something.
Okay, what I did is I wrote down these specific words.
Uh-huh.
Maximum embodied awakening that serves highest good, please. Thank
okay,
you.
That, so that's the invocation for embodied awakening, obviously, right?
Okay.
So you're saying you said it, and then you relaxed, you didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you don't feel energy moving, then you feel your breath come and go. You can certainly feel that, right?
I guess. I don't remember purposely looking for that, or, you know.
Okay, so again, the instruction is after you say the words, if you feel energy moving in your body on its own, that's what you feel. If you don't have that awareness, you just feel your breath come and go on its own.
Okay, so that's very simple.
It's mm-hmm. it's designed to be simple, yes. Okay, yeah, don't try to make it more complicated than it is. And then you just, as long as you feel like, you know, and people who are not sensitive, you know, what they might feel is, I feel a little more calm, a little more peaceful, a little more relaxed. And for people who aren't super sensitive, that is their experience of the divine energy.
Okay, so if I did like 10 and, you know, or 8, you know, somewhere in there,
You mean eight rounds of that invocation? Eight what?
I go through the book and it shows that you have, you know, different, I don't know what to call them, but so I work with each one, like one's for money, one's for someone else, do you?
Okay, so you're doing various custom invocations, it sounds like, yeah.
Okay, and so I just don't know if I'm done. If I'm done, what did I do? Because
well, the basic guideline is when you feel the energy stop moving, you're done. My feeling is if you're not able to feel energy moving, then it might be a little premature to jump into the custom invocations that are a bit more advanced. Mm-hmm. You might just stick with the invocations for healing and awakening until you develop some level of energetic sensitivity. And only when you can feel the energy moving can you really tell if the custom invocations are working or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I would stick with the two basic ones and then just get to where you can feel a little bit and then only then move on to the more advanced invocations.
Okay. Now, you said I didn't have my camera on. I've had it on all the other times?
I don't. Well, you have had it on before, but right now I just see your name and no image.
Yeah. How do I do that? Because I didn't do anything and it came on before.
You would have to click the camera icon on your Zoom app.
Oh, yeah?
But let's not worry about it right now, okay?
Okay, we're done.
Okay, all right, thanks, Jan. Okay, looks like Pam is up next. Pam, what's your next question?
It's in regard to healing and the healing invocations, and I have been focused mostly until now on just the embodied awakening, just to get that down. And then last night was really the first time I did a healing thing.
Uh-huh.
So my question has to do with owning the power that Jesus said we had, that whatever he could do, we could do.
Absolutely.
And the idea that, you know, most of us on this planet are afraid to accept that power, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. or don't believe it or whatever.
Yeah.
And so partly on Wednesday, last night's call. No, how do I say this? Oh, gosh, I don't want to waste time here. This idea of embodied awakening with your highest self is at the Christ sort of self, the Christ consciousness or Buddha consciousness or whatever.
Not necessarily. It's definitely mm-hmm. moving in that direction. Mm-hmm. Again, my experience of Christ consciousness and Buddha consciousness, it's a spectrum. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. my belief is that no matter how much of it you're holding, there's always more available.
Uh-huh.
So to me, what Jesus was exemplifying was unconditional love. Mm-hmm. And if you want an exemplar of that, look to the woman sitting to my left.
Yeah.
She just does that without even trying. She's just born that way. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm envious.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you know, one of the things he was teaching at least was to just love everyone. My own experience to the degree that I've touched into that is that that is a byproduct of a certain level of awakening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you from your ego can strive to embody unconditional love all you want to, and you might make a little bit of incremental progress. But to me, mm-hmm. the big breakthroughs are when I just get to the level where it just is unconditional love, and that's what the level does. And if you're conscious there, you're just embodying unconditional love.
Right. And which is, yeah. So then you have the levels. It's what it's sounding like is third dimension, fourth dimension, fifth dimension, and on up.
Yeah.
Levels like that.
Yeah.
So then I'm curious, the ayahuasca, you're very, you know, a major fan of ayahuasca.
Oh, yeah.
And how do those of us who don't have that experience or even availability of it,
mm-hmm.
how do you just keep practicing? In other words, you're talking about the fifth dimension and how you accessed it through your ayahuasca trip recently.
Yeah, right.
And so how do we, if we're not doing it, do that?
Well, you ask your higher self. You know, at the end of my book, I say that it's as if ayahuasca gave me the Ida invocations mm-hmm. to give itself to some degree to those who can't actually do ayahuasca ceremonies.
Okay. To some degree.
Yeah. And again, I've never done an Ida invocation that had the power of an ayahuasca ceremony. It's just, you know, it's just inconceivably more powerful to actually sit with the medicine in your body. Okay. But if you don't have that availability and you're not going to use plant spirit, you know, accelerators, then you want to use whatever other tools are going to get it on.
Right.
And, you know, the invocations are great for that. You know, if it's as a DIY thing, if you want to get hardcore with an Awakening Plus, then I would focus on the shamanic awakening ceremonies mm-hmm. and the shamanic breathwork ceremonies.
Okay.
Because those are the two most high voltage things we do. And those are the closest we get to ayahuasca kind of experiences.
Right. Okay. That's good. That's good to know. Thank you.
So, and if you can't do ayahuasca, you know, if you have opportunities for working with San Pedro, also called Huachuma, that's an incredibly potent healing plant. That can be very intense as well. Working with mushrooms, which are not quite as intense, but can be super powerful in a strong enough dose, can be helpful. Some people have very powerful experiences with MDMA, which can open the heart and allow you to face traumas that you could never have tolerated otherwise. So there's all manner of other things that can be contemplated, you know, if you can't get into an ayahuasca ceremony.
Yeah.
And again, a lot of this is not legal, so you have to, you know, make your own
call. Right. I kind of divorced the last fellow because of his illegal activities. So
right.
Anyway, thank you. I appreciate
You're welcome. All right, great question. And let me just go ahead.
I have a question for you when you get finished.
All right, and I just wanted to add one distinction I make between ayahuasca and drugs. You know, the bad drugs like heroin and amphetamines and, you know, crack and things like that are highly destructive.
Mm-hmm.
All the plant spirit has been taken out of those things and they've been pharmaceuticalized. But
chemicals.
Yeah. But the work I'm talking about with plant spirit teachers, where the conscious living spirit of the planet, they're like the things I've been mentioning. The people I know who do that regularly are some of the most amazing, conscious, positive, life affirming people I know. They're among the very best, most conscious people I've ever encountered. So you want to watch, if you're using substances, watch the effects they have. If a person using that substance with regularity is becoming more conscious and loving and kind and a better citizen, that tells you something. But if they're spiraling down like a heroin addict would, that's a whole different story.
Right.
Yeah. So I just wanted to make that clarification.
Can I add to what you just said?
Go ahead.
Can I add to what you just said?
Wait, jump in, Jeannie.
Yeah, I was just going to say that all of us have an advantage if we want to know what ayahuasca is like or what real grandfather's like. I mean, there's cigarettes all over the place and they have some tobacco, but they have so many other things. But what you do is pure, and that energy can be felt because a lot of us are sensitive, and we know when you pull out the grandfather, we know before you pull it out what you've pulled out, because we can tell, oh, that's grandfather. Mm. And then, enough sessions, you know, with you in groups, and you sing the ayahuasca song, that calls in the energy for me. Mm-hmm. And there's been times when Spirit Song was there and I said, you know, I saw this green plant and it looked like this and this and this, and you said, oh yeah, that's the accompaniment that makes the ayahuasca work. I forgot, it begins with a C. I'm sorry.
Chacruna. Yeah.
And so what I'm just sharing is that all of us have an advantage, because if we could just, you know, tune in, you know, we're in a pretty sensitive state when we get all ready, when we do our invocations and call in the allies. So if you make the intention, oh, you know, I would like to know a little bit more of that frequency that is called ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. And then he sings the ayahuasca, one of the ayahuasca songs that night. Then you can replay it and you can go, yeah, that's what that feels like. And oh, yeah, that's grandfather, and so on and so forth. And so I just wanted to let everybody know, you know, we have this great advantage. It's like, I don't have to go crazy trying to find help to go to an ayahuasca ceremony. I do have a flavor of it. I really do.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that goes right along with what I was wanting to say.
Okay.
And ask, do you believe, from your perception, that someone can ask to receive or embody the essence without having the physical plant?
Oh yeah, well, you've done it.
That's why I'm asking. Well, let's talk about that, because that's what she's alluding to.
Yeah, you want to tell the story of what your experience was?
Yeah, well, back when we were doing ceremony a lot in the early days when we were married, I've had some miraculous healings with a rare genetic heart disorder that I had that I do not manifest anymore. I've had some miracles happen, but back then the ayahuasca, ayahuascaros were not comfortable giving me, nor was I receiving the actual medicine because of my heart and the unknowing of what it, because it changes the physical chemistry and it can become very intense. And so one of the times when Benny and I were just on the couch, we were just sitting there communing together, and we both became aware that I was embodying the essence of Mother Aya. And she just came. And so I have a firm belief that without having the ability to imbibe in the actual physical plant medicine, it is possible, depending on your intention, your vibration. When you were speaking just now about knowing, like when Benjamin was pulling grandfather out and you knew it, you have an acquaintance with those essences.
I was at a ceremony one, and I remember, and I, when I smelled it, it was so familiar. It was like, I remember you. It was a true being. And this is, you know, way, way back before I had the kind of training that like Benjamin does for us. And so, yeah, I can do that.
So and, there are all different ways. I mean, certainly the power of actually being able to drink in the essence, the liquid lifeblood of the plant itself is the most powerful. But there is great power to be had by just allowing, if you're open to it, the essence to come through.
Right. The way I describe it is exactly what you just said. I say, don't have the taste because I'm not actually, you know, drinking it.
Right.
I kind of get the flavor. I kind of get it. You know, well, if I see a pumpkin pie, I kind of get what flavors are there. You know, if I see it in a window or, you know, if I smell it for sure, of course I get the flavors.
Yeah.
You know, smelling is kind of like almost 1 degree different than tasting it. But yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, any of us that really want to do that, we can just make the intention.
Yeah. And, you know, I have done so many ayahuasca ceremonies that, you know, I couldn't separate myself from her energy if I wanted to. You know, it's the vibration is just part of me. So, you know, that energy is available as part, as consciousness. And especially if I'm like, you know, singing an ayahuasca song, the energy is even stronger. So anyone who would do, if you want to practice, say, hey, I just want to receive as much ayahuasca, you know, vibration that serves highest good, you know, in a way that serves highest good, then you might just get more of it. So feel free to make a, you know, a customized request at any point if you want that.
Hi, Vivian. You've been here a lot. So do you know when he does grandfather and you can feel ayahuasca and all that?
Vivian, you're muted. You're muted. So we can't hear you. So there you go. And we still, there you are. Go ahead.
Hi there. Yeah, only from what I experience here.
Yeah. So you do it too. You know, you got the flavor of it, right?
Oh yeah, that's a quality. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to share too. My perception is that Mother Aya is a very, very powerful, potent medicine that for Benjamin is primary in his journey. But there are other very high vibrational ways of accessing divine states.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the only one. So I would not want anyone to ever think, well, I'll never be able to get exactly there because I don't have Mother Aya to drink, because there are so many different ways of getting to that state of divine union.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, for Benjamin, it's definitely a potent, powerful teacher catalyst.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a good fit for me, but many people have achieved levels of awakening far beyond mine without using anything at all, just doing, you know, their own inner work. So, you know, I love it because it's fast, it's effective, and it opens me to levels more quickly than anything else I know how to do. So that's why I use it, you know, because it keeps accelerating my healing awakening so I can serve you guys better.
And I think, you know, because we're all different, we all like on a dietary level, we have different foods that are best for us where somebody else wouldn't receive the same benefit, because that's the way our unique system is going to get the most benefit. Same thing with the sacred medicines or any of the other things. A tree, I'll tell you a tree story.
Is it a true tree story?
It's a true tree story. Has powerful medicine. And, you know, we have a relationship with the living things of the earth, if we're aware of it. Benny and I used to go for a walk down the same path many times at our other home, and we would stop once we got to a certain place. And if Benjamin was carrying something, he would put it down, put his arms around this massive tree, and commune with the tree and share love, give love, receive love, energy exchange. Did that many, many times. And then we went to Peru or Hawaii or somewhere and came back. And some time had passed. But what we were amazed at when we were walking along the path and coming up to the tree, now this was a tree whose first branches were 60, 70 feet in the air. There weren't any branches down here, but where his hands had held her every time, there were two branches sprouting out. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. She was looking for him. Where are you?
We were amazed.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to make sure everyone gets I see that Sara is here. Welcome. And Sara, did you have a question you wanted to ask?
Yeah, something that I have been wanting to explore lately is the nature of pain.
Okay.
Nature of pain in light workers. I was told recently, I'll say, because you all don't know, that I got hit by a truck a month ago.
I'm so sorry.
As a pedestrian. Oh. Everybody first says, oh, in your car. No, as a pedestrian.
Wow. Oh, no.
I'm learning to walk again, and I've had a lot of surgery. Wow. Now, one really complicating factor for my having this injury is that I also have IBS.
Mm.
I'm going to combine two things that really shouldn't go together. It's not being able to walk and having IBS.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's been a trial.
Sorry.
But somebody that I was talking with was saying that as a light worker, and I've had agony with the IBS, and I've also, had good bit of agony with this hip replacement and learning to walk again.
Yeah.
She was saying that all that pain that I have had, she was saying, is in some way as a light worker, is helping to lift up the world, And Mother Teresa, of course, believed this because she under-medicated a lot of her patients because she believed that their suffering would help redeem the world. When I heard that, I was pretty horrified.
Mm.
And when somebody said that to me, I thought, well, at least there's some good use for all this,
mm-hmm.
more than just comfort I've been going through. And just wanted to throw it out there. Do you think, if I, as a light worker, have been suffering, I am Jewish. I am not a believer that Christ was God, but mm-hmm. His suffering was supposed to be for humankind.
Right.
What do you think?
Well, I'm going to turn that over to Spirit Song because she has much more experience with this than I do. She lives this in her daily life. What do you think, Darling?
Well, I'm not an expert except from the standpoint that I have danced a lot with pain in my body, and I think that there is a grace in giving the pain to spirit, to asking that it be used, that it's just part of being in a human vehicle, that if we have certain situations, unless we're some kind of rare being, we're going to have some pain, And when you see people like Amma, the hugging saint, and people who are in really high places of helping others, and they're experiencing pain, that it's not a punishment, And if you want to just use it for highest good, as far as I know, you ask to allow it to be transmuted into highest good.
Yeah. I have a good friend who is a very well known seer, and she was born, I think it's called Ehlers, I forget the second word.
Something. Ehlers-Danlos?
Yeah, that's it. And she has tremendous pain all the time because her joints are always dislocated. She said that she felt like she brought this gift in with her so she could transmute the pain into light. And I did find the first days in the hospital that I was trying to do that, that I was just saying, okay, first off, it's a warning that, you know, something's wrong. Okay, I know something is wrong. can I just interpret this as pressure? Hold on one second. Shanda, would you turn the heat on before you go? Thank you. And I have successfully done that many times when I've stubbed my toe. It's pressure. I know it's hurt. Okay. Not so easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I mean, the question I was looking at was, I don't think I'm a victim. I think I brought this in. I think I will learn, enhance, and, you know, open up in whatever ways I will on account of this, though it's the fourth time I've been hit, and I swore I was done with it.
Oh, goodness.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, Berkeley's a very dense city, and there are a lot of impatient people here. And since COVID, evidently, you know, more people have been getting hit in crosswalks, because I think the guy who hit me, who said he never saw me, was on his cell phone.
Mm,
but yeah. But I don't remember anything. I'm very grateful, actually, not to remember anything from the accident scene. So that's just my question, is like, I know that having any really difficult physical injury, because I've had them before, opens my compassion to others.
Mm-hmm.
There are many gifts that are involved with it. But I just wondered, when somebody said the IBS, which started when my ex-husband was really, well, being unfaithful, and I had a whole lot of pain,
mm-hmm.
took it into my gut, but it's never gone away.
Mm-hmm.
If that was some way in which I was expressing, trying to bring the world to a higher place. And I'd hate to think that it's true that we have to go through that kind of pain. But on the other hand, if that's the only way we can get to, you know, the fifth dimension, and so be it. I just wondered
I don't think that it has to be that way.
No, it doesn't.
There are a lot of people who don't have that aspect at all. We have such different paths, each of us, as beings on this journey. And for me, one of the strongest elements is trust. And I two things. I have had several miracles. I was at Mayo Clinic to have open heart surgery one day, and some of you know this, and a pacemaker defibrillator installed the next day. Instead, on the day of preliminary testing, they were telling me that my heart was normal. They couldn't find anything wrong with it. And I was flying home on the day that I was supposed to be, we were flying home on the day I was supposed to be on the surgery table. I had people say to me, look how powerful you are. Look at what a manifester you are. And I say, no, I am me. I am the one that I was when I was having trouble breathing and in a lot of distress. And I am the one that now has a miraculous heart. The trust aspect to me is the core of what makes the difference. Staying and open mm-hmm. to receive healing. Mm-hmm. I am open to receive healing. I said that from the very beginning, when I was told that I had this rare genetic heart disorder, I said, I welcome and receive my healing however it comes, through Western medicine, through natural medicine, by grace, through faith, however it comes, I welcome my healing. And I didn't, that didn't stop me from going to get help when I had already had one healing, but it didn't happen again. And I was at Mayo Clinic saying, Spirit, you do not take me anywhere it is not safe for me to go. And there is some reason for me to be here. But at the same time, my heart was open to receive healing. And in the end, that was what was supposed to happen. But it's staying in that essence of trust and love and knowing that we are always, always in the heart of God. And the only thing that's there is love. That whatever is happening is perfect.
Yes, of course. And I will just find out. I think that there are just going to be little flowers that bloom along the way and trace them back to this. And one healer friend of mine came over and did some work on me. She said, you know what, Sarah, I think that you do this over and over just so you can shock people with how well you're back up and walking. The funniest part to me was my sisters were just telling me, well, see, for instance, I'm sitting on a beamer which has magnets for microcirculation. It's one reason I left rehab. They weren't doing great therapy with me. I said, I'm going home to my beamer and my biomat and my tuning forks and and all my instruments. And I've been told that these devices are really helping me. But she said, yeah, you're just doing this so you can surprise and shock everybody with how well you get quick. So my sisters were saying, oh, you should really use Arnica, and my iron was way down from the surgery, and you should use Floradix. And I was so patient with them. I didn't say, because they said mom used to use them, they really helped her. And it was like, where do you think she got that? Excuse me, can you give me some credit? I've been doing this stuff for 50 years, and you kind of don't listen. But if somebody else in the family that I turned on to it, and they tried it and it worked for them, then you'll say, oh, it worked for so-and-so. And it's like, where do you think he heard about this? You know,
yeah,
I didn't do that.
Good. Yeah, I'll just throw in a couple of closing thoughts. One is, I often work with clients who have been through some kind of trauma, whether it's physical or emotional. And I say, well, is it possible that it's on the job training, you know, where you have to bring healing to yourself for whatever the situation is? And then once you've done that, you can then turn around and guide others who are in a similar challenge. So sometimes we choose to have challenge in order to gain wisdom on how to be healers or a call.
Absolutely.
So that can be part of it. Another part of it, I often experience that if I'm hit with a significant challenge, it's the solution, it's the solving of that challenge that takes me to my next level of spiritual awakening.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the greater the challenge, the greater the breakthrough. And the last thing is, you know, if it teaches you how to more effectively call in the healing power of your divine helpers, your higher self and any beings you work with, you know, sometimes getting into a severe situation where you feel compelled to call perhaps in new ways or more adamantly than you ever have to get the healing energy in, that also can be not only instructive for yourself and others, but can also take your awakening deeper and faster.
Yeah, it's for some good reason. I know. I haven't quite figured that one out yet, but
yeah.
I trust.
Yeah, I would just encourage you, just delegate as much of that healing to your divine helpers as you can. Give them a chance to do it for you. I had a tiny example actually today. My physical heart has been feeling weird. I think I've got some kind of arrhythmia going. And this just happened in the last couple of hours. So while Spirit Song was working on dinner, I sat at my mesa and just did the healing invocation and just sat for half an hour. And it took a few minutes. Then I felt this, you know, kind of thick stuff slowly start to ooze out my hands and my feet. And I was able to sit there for, you know, 25, 30 minutes, and I feel so much better. Mm-hmm. you know, and whatever is going on there, I don't know. I'm still going to go to the doctor and see what's going on there. But, you know, that's just simply doing the healing invocation has made my physical heart feel much better. You know, I felt that heavy stuff clearing, and, you know, it's the physical heart is better feeling now. So
you're an example. Both of you are an example to all of us. Yeah. And I hear you, and I will keep working with the helpers and the magic.
Yeah. And the last thing I wanted to mention, which is the first thought that occurred to me, is if you are able to face this challenge and keep your attitude as positive as possible and do things that are healing for you, everyone connects to everyone else, and you successfully doing it for you puts out into the field the greater possibility of others doing it for themselves. So in that way, with that other person who has the joint issue, there might be some truth to that. You know, a healer, a light worker who is faced with significant physical challenge, who is getting progress made on their own healing, it does put that possibility into the field more potently. So perhaps some of us are signed up to serve in that way, you know, challenging service without question, but some of us may have agreed to that coming in.
Well, so I did so much much research on not getting any of the ailments in my family, the heart disease, the high blood pressure, the diabetes, and the other stuff. And I started that when I was 18 years old. So both my sisters have autoimmune disease, and both my parents didn't. I don't have a trace.
Wow.
So Gamzu Latova, as we say in Hebrew, it's all for the good.
Good. That's a great attitude. Well done, Sara.
Well, I also have titanium in me now. And this friend said, oh, titanium, that's like having jewels in your body. That's going to really raise your vibration. So a couple of days I was saying, did I get steel or titanium? I hope I got titanium, and I did.
Now, when they start putting vibranium in us, then we'll really have something going on. You got a question? Yeah?
Yeah. When you did your healing invocation for your heart arrhythmia, did you just say maximum divine healing, or how did you add?
I just said the standard phrasing, maximum healing that serves highest good, please. Uh-huh. And then I simply held attention in my physical heart.
Okay. That's holding the attention. Okay.
Yeah. So again, the formula is you say the seven words, and then you simply hold attention where the challenge is.
Okay.
And your higher self already knows what's going on there better than your human self does. So it just takes care of it.
Okay. Super. Thanks.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay. So let me see if anyone hasn't jumped in yet. Vivian, you haven't asked any questions. Did you have a question for tonight?
No, I just felt it was the right thing to tune in. But I might say something briefly to Sarah, if I may.
Sure.
Sarah, there's something about the radiance that is shining through you, even in the middle of all this pain, that can't help but be shining out into the world. And I also had a thought about your knowledge of all the medicines that you've helped your family with. A lot of them are also plant spirits as well.
Oh, yeah.
Many years ago when I worked in a complementary medical practice, people would come to me and say, would you refer to me? And one of them was a classical homeopath. And I would always say, well, look, I really want to know who you are. And, you know, would you give me a treatment? And then we'll go from there. And this lovely man kind of went through the whole classical homeopath 100,000 questions, and which was great. And told me, look, you're really, really, really healthy. But the only thing is you've had two things happen. One of them is that you've had a lot of shocks in your life, accidents and so on. And I want to give you one high potency Arnica tablet, which is what he did. And the other thing is that I don't know why I'm telling this story. I hope it's relevant to somebody here. And also somebody in your family line has once died of tuberculosis. He said, I don't believe it's you. I don't think you're going to manifest it, but if you would like to do something with that, I can help. I said, yeah, sure, of course. So he did. And so he gave me this tiny medication for this. But the next day I was supposed to be flying to Australia to do like a week-long workshop. and it started to be snow and ice on the hill between where I lived and where I worked, and I couldn't get back. And so I went the next day, the day that I was flying out, to get my passport, and I slipped on the ice on the mountain, and I could either go off the edge, which I wasn't going to do. I could drive in front of me to crash into the car that was in front of me, which I didn't want to do because it would cause hours of, like, you know, accident investigations. Or I could swerve into the path of the oncoming traffic, which is what I did. There was a truck coming up and he ground to a halt also on the ice, which I'm sure I wasn't very popular. But so I got high. So I had to act in the split second moment. And I think there's something about that, knowing that you have to, knowing in the moment what you have to do. So I got my passport, went home, arrived at the workshop. The first thing we were doing was following our walking pattern and amplifying that. And my amplification of my walking took me down to lie on the ground. I went into a deep trance and died, not literally, but, like, you know, in a trance state. And I experienced an easy death, relatively, while I choked on my own blood, which sounds bizarre, but I knew that was what was happening, and a struggle to be reborn. And, you know, there's lots of stories about that I won't go into. But what I discovered was that there are two ways that you can die of choking on your own blood. And one of them is an ulcer and the other is TB. And so in that moment of that one very potent homeopathic, well, the two, the arnica and the medicine for my family line around TB, I went through a complete death and rebirth sequence. And I'm sure that that's all cleared. I'm sure that's all cleared from my family line. Nobody needs TB anymore. And that feels really wonderful. And I suspect I might be telling that story because something about the way that you repeat having these accidents occurs to me that you might be at a threshold of going, okay, I've got this. This has been cleared. I don't need any more accidents in order to have the experience that is necessary to do what I'm called to do. And I don't know. I just hope that is maybe of use, that story.
What a powerful story. And I will say that I had said before this, I don't need to be hit by cars anymore. I'm done. And then when I woke up in the ER, it was like, really?
Really? What am I doing here?
I was so sure. I was done with that. Okay, let's go. We'll figure this one out too. Thanks. That was a wonderful story. Thank you for telling me that. Tuberculinum, right? Because that's the TB.
It was just interesting. I mean, that was a thing that he picked up. I'd never thought of it. I'd never heard of it. Nothing like that. But it is true. My family line tends to have lung weakness. You know, so my father at nearly 96 died of pneumonia. So, I mean, there are things that are, if there is a weak part of the system, it tends to be there. So, you know, it's all that. So I don't know. I think I'm telling that story because you talked about what you have done to not manifest the inherited tendencies to illness that your family has, and that your knowledge that certain things like Floridex and iron and arnica have all been helpful for your mother. And I just as I tell the story, I wonder how much of this is clearing something else, some other tendencies that belong to your family line, and how much of it might be purely for the world at large. I don't know that, but I leave that one with you. There might be another way that this could happen, you know, without so much physical suffering.
I'm not sure, but something that you just said really just touched my heart, and I feel it opening.
Good.
I'm very grateful to you for saying that. I'm not sure exactly what it might be. I avoided all their stuff, and I studied, and now I teach classes, and I use all my own advice. But there's something you just planted in my heart, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I don't know what it is either.
Good channeling, Vivian.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we have so many wise souls who join us for this. I love all the great wisdom that's being.
Thank you. That does touch me too. Many blessings.
So if there's anyone who hasn't asked a second question, you're up next. Whoever hasn't asked a second question, feel free to unmute and ask any other questions you have. Stephanie, is that you?
Yes, that's me.
Okay.
Just some general comments. I was in on the call Monday night, and I think it was Karen, I might get the name wrong, who brought up Ho'oponopono, and I'm really thankful that she did.
Yeah.
My icon is actually a fleur-de-lis, and
I'm
totally, that's a Ho'oponopono clinging to. I'm totally into Ho'oponopono.
Yeah.
And that kind of, that inspired me to use Ho'oponopono as part of an invocation.
Mm-hmm.
Because I figured there's several reasons. It's about forgiveness, gratitude, and love. And those are like three hallmarks of spiritual work. No matter what discipline you work in, you hear about those three things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was nice. And I'm also really into it because I'm actually was born in Hawaii.
Ooh.
My dad was in the military. So anything Hawaiian kind of piques my interest. But I'm very grateful that that person brought up Ho'oponopono.
Yeah.
And then I want to thank you for your work, because I think I found it just in time. I think this is going to work for me. I'm just getting started. I wish, it's one of those things I wish I would have had this years ago, because I'm so ready to heal. And I think things are going to get kind of funky, and I think this is going to be really useful for that.
Good. Yeah.
And then I'll just tell you one last brief story. Last night, I invited a friend. My friend Carol showed up. I've known Carol for a long time,
mm-hmm.
more than half my life. We worked together when I was, you know, let's see, 40 years ago, maybe a little less than between 35 and 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. Then we kind of lost touch, and I found her again 6 years ago, and we're back to working together. She's a very gifted intuitive.
Mm.
She has gotten your book, but just as I was reading your book, I wanted to do kind of a blind study because she's somebody I trust.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to your website and I forwarded the link. I was really careful not to violate any kind of copyrights or anything. I wanted to respect that. And so I told her to do the invocation, and she did it. She said, "Oh, I heard my angels laugh." So it was totally blind. She had no idea why I was asking her to do it. So it kind of, that helped me. That kind of convinced me that this was very, very useful. And it wasn't just me, but, I just wanted to share that, and I will pass on to the next person. Thank you so much for your work.
Oh, fine. My pleasure. Thank you. As long as the angels weren't laughing in derision, that's okay. Jeannie, did you have something you wanted to jump in with?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to Vivian, because she reminded me that quite often I would get the inkling to, when I was praying, you know, I pray for a lot of different people a lot, and I've been in a lot of different groups that pray for a lot of different people and so on and so forth. And I used to periodically get that, oh yeah, this whatever, like liver cancer, or, you know, colon cancer, whatever. And when this heals for them, it heals them and all their line. And often it was because, you know, every single one of the siblings had had whatever it was. And it had been generations that it had whatever. And I haven't had that inkling in a long time, but I'll look for it more now because, you know, Vivian just mentioned it. So, you know, I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, a lot of times what we get is just like her stories on the tuberculin, you know, antidote from the naturopath. That was so cool. And then the other thing is, since the Ho'oponopono came up twice, and I brought it up the other day, the other time we had a meeting,
mm-hmm.
and if you could send out, or I don't know, you've kind of done enough, in my opinion, that you could have it as a course. You could talk about it as a separate, oh, you want to tune in? This is something to do, because when people are healing and they're in the situation that Sarah's in, and yes, Sarah, I have been sending you good energy and healing. And when I have been in those situations, which over the lot over the last 30 years, I would sometimes just do the Ho'oponopono. And it would be so nice to have Benjamin's voice singing his version, the song that he learned. Because, I don't know, when you don't feel good, sometimes you don't want to just sit there and go, Ho'oponopono. I mean, it'd be nice to be able to sing the song with Benjamin. That's
Thank you. I appreciate the suggestion. Okay, so by the way, we are going to go to 9:30. We have a lot of people and a lot of questions in the air. So I think we're ready for third round. So anyone who wants to jump in. So speak if you want to be next.
Okay.
All right, you're up, Jan. Go ahead.
My husband had two seizures and some strokes in about a 5-year period. And so now he's left without mobility in his left hand, and his back is complicated.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how I can help him.
Just do the hollow reed invocation. Just that's simply you just ask your higher self, please flow the energy through me for my husband's highest good. And you just relax, and they'll send the healing energy through you over to him. And since your higher self will be communicating with your husband's higher self, the energy will flow in exactly whatever way he needs it. And you can do it as much as you want. So that would be the simplest way to do that. That was easy. Thank you. Who's next? And someone's got some noise in their environment, so whoever that is, you might mute yourself so that it doesn't come through so loud. I think it's Stephanie. I'm going to mute.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to mute you. That was it. Okay. So feel free to unmute if you have another question, but we'll keep you quiet for now. So Vivian, did you got something?
No.
You're just unmuted? Okay. All right, whoever's next, jump in. Who hasn't already done three rounds? And if we're out of questions, then we can stop. But if there's any more questions, I mean, we got time still. So don't be shy if you have another question. Anyone now? So it's open season now, since we've had this big a gap, then anyone who has got a question can jump in.
Well, I'll ask one.
Okay.
I don't know if you can give me anything on this at all. And if you can't, it's perfectly fine. I'm just wondering if you get any kind of hit when I tell you that my partner's father committed suicide the third day I was in the hospital.
Hmm.
And although he'd been talking about it for years and his health was deteriorating and my partner was saying, yep, I think he needs to go now. Hmm. It created a thing for us because he was supposed to leave like the next day. No, 2 days later, Monday, and this happened Saturday, to go down south. And, you know, he probably suspected his father would do it while he was there so he could, you know, support the sister and figure things out. And instead he had to stay with me because I couldn't function.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered if anybody got any hit on that. That timing was just so weird.
So are you saying he committed suicide while he was there caring for you? Am I understanding correctly?
His father committed suicide.
Father, okay.
The third day I was in the hospital.
Okay.
He would have been with him, except for staying to take care of me.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm getting a strong message, Sarah. It is completely not your fault.
I didn't think it was,
but yeah,
she's not. I don't.
That's all.
She doesn't think it's her.
I know that, but I'm. No.
It just created. It created a tension because I canceled him. You know, I'm clergy, and I canceled him, and I'm running the memorial on Saturday for him. And I did lots of counseling with him, really at the worst part of my injury. And he told me his mentor said, "Was Sarah any help?" And he said, "Oh yeah, she was tremendous help." But then there was just this thing where he couldn't really take care of me. And I didn't know if it was like splitting off or he's just a lovely person who doesn't have any caregiving instincts.
Were you able to get the care you needed anyway?
It created tension in the relationship, and at times I was not.
Okay.
At one time I was left freezing cold because I'd had to rinse off from something, and I'm down to 98 pounds. And
wow.
When I get cold, man, it just goes through me, and I was so miserable, and I was weeping, and I really thought, why isn't he coming to check on me? But he didn't for an hour. And I was weeping, and it's not that big a house. So, you know, I was just wondering, just wondering if it was another level of growth and learning for me and for him.
Well, that's possible. Yeah, I'll open it to anyone else who has insights on that, because that was the only thing I got of potency.
What I'm getting, Sarah, is that he was just caught in his grief and he wasn't able to be with you. It actually didn't have to do with your lessons at all. I mean, it's really unfortunate that you had the extra suffering, but I think...
I don't think so, because when the dad was talking about it like the day before and I was saying, I think you need to call the police. He said, do not call the police. He's been planning and talking about this for 4 years. He doesn't take care of himself. He's miserable. He'd broken his big screen TV. So the way he said he'd call the doctor the next day, got up, what? No TV, life is not worth living. And he went.
Yeah. But all of that happens at a rational level. And there's another level at which your partner will have grief. Anyway, that's my...
Okay.
What I feel about it anyway. So it's like we have connections with people that are deeper than our cognitive understanding of what's going on.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. Maybe he thought you needed something else to think about.
Damn it.
Like your mind off your pain for a moment. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I'll have to tell David. But he's down there now because my daughters came in from Israel and it kind of ruined our visit in one way. And when they are here, which is not all the time, they are beautiful caretakers. And I'm just thrilled with the daughters I have raised that they're taking care of me like this.
Wow, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one invocation I would recommend for you, Sarah, just talk to your higher self and your guides. Say, hey, whatever lessons and experiences I need, let them be, you know, as easy and full of grace as serves highest good.
That is my constant prayer. My lessons be quickly and easily learned and for the highest good of all.
And as gently as possible. I don't know if you heard what Benjamin just said. It's about being gentle. As well as fast.
Yeah. Gentle, minimum pain involved. It gets the job done. Yeah. Things like that.
Oh dear, so much heroism.
Anybody else got something? Any lingering questions out there?
I might have one that I can't frame quite. It's about the energy of the eclipse today. Well, for us, it's later today.
No, it's already happened.
It's already happening? Happened?
Oh, yeah.
Already?
Yeah, it happened over 18 hours ago. Yeah.
Oh, it was yesterday. How interesting. I'm out of, a little bit out of sync. Okay. Interesting.
So what's your question?
What, is she on a different
time?
In Australia.
I'm trying to feel into it.
Is that a different time frame?
I think I said yesterday in the chat in the shamanic session that we had, I made a comment that Ningaloo is the Aboriginal word for the Yamatji people who live up there,
okay.
which means Ningaloo is one of the places on Earth where it was easiest to see this eclipse.
Uh-huh.
And it's about 3 days straight traveling without stopping north of here. And it's also cyclone season, so I wasn't really tempted. It was a very beautiful place that where the whale sharks come in and you can swim with the whale sharks there.
Mm.
And the word Ningaloo means deep water mm. or else a headland going into deep water.
Oh, okay.
And I guess I'm kind of pondering when I've been writing, editing my poetry and writing flat out for the last two weeks. And for those that know me, I was wondering about whether I was going to get a university position. Well, actually, that's gone to somebody else. They've collected all the hours and given them to somebody else, which has kind of freed me up to look after my major project, which is around my writing and artwork and around publishing a book. So nice. I'm right into it. And yet, right on the threshold of this, I'm coming up with what I believe are really deep waters. So I think that the fact that this eclipse has been seen from Ningaloo is really seems to be resonant. I had my granddaughter here the other day and we were making art together. I was just making a collage. And what I chose was images around people going absolutely into the depths of some of the deepest caves on the earth. And these particular ones were somewhere in Oman. I don't think that was the main issue. The main issue was going into the depths with a light.
Yeah.
And so whether we're going deep into what lives in the earth, or whether we're going into deep waters, I'm not sure. And how much of it belongs to my process as I write, and how much of it actually, this is the question now, how much of it belongs to, you know, the general human journey is a bit of a question to me. It's like, yeah, what am I doing, and how is that connected to my gathering together my past journey and bringing to light the quintessential things that I want to share? And how much of it is new because we have new layers that now have to be explored? I'm sorry that's not very clear, but that's about that. That's what I'm working with, and if anybody's got any thoughts about that or intuitive flashes.
I haven't been able to be present, and I know you've talked, probably you're tired of it already with the eclipse, but wonder if you would also just say a sentence about the shifts and changes this is bringing.
You're talking to me? Yeah, definitely. I was about to jump in with that anyway. Vivian, the energy you're talking about, astrologically speaking, would be Pluto. Pluto is Lord of the Underworld. It deals with all the trauma and wounds and going into the cave is one of the classic Pluto images. Okay. So it goes deep, it goes intense, it feels things profoundly, etc. Okay. And this solar eclipse we just had, the sun and moon were square Pluto very tightly. So Pluto is a superpower, is the most powerful aspect of the whole eclipse. And so eclipses, of course, their effects last at least 6 months. So it's a long-term thing. Combine this with the fact that Pluto just a few weeks ago entered Aquarius, having been in Capricorn for 18 or 20 years, and will be in Aquarius for about 20 years now, off and on, mostly on. And that being resonant of big change fast, big change now, you know, all that together, you know, we're definitely, in my opinion, moving into a very profound time when it is time for everyone who's willing to do their deep work and go into their caves and do their shadow work and process their shit.
All right. And so now you've given me my answer. I mean, when we looked at my chart a little while ago, Pluto will be on my sun in the next couple of years. And by the way, I have Pluto at the midheaven, etc.
Oh, wow.
All of that is very relevant. And I had a student the other day who is transgender, and without going into a lot of detail, she felt that one of her old beliefs, what I call dinosaur beliefs, is that she would never be welcomed anywhere. Mm. And at a certain point in the group, she had a go at me because she didn't feel I welcomed some part of her enough. And I stayed with her afterwards. And the next week I kind of publicly said, look, I'm sorry. There was a way in which I maybe could have invited you to stay in the room rather than respecting you have a little time out. So, you know, apologies for that. And what happened was all the way around the group, everybody came forward to her. And one Japanese person did a whole lot of drawings about how we all have dinosaurs who are going to dinosaur school, which was a great metaphor. But gradually what it did was shift the entire group in towards making relationships. And the point of my story is then last week she actually said to everybody at the end of the session, there's a whole lot of old parts of self who are totally astonished to be actually here and to be welcomed. And I went, yay. Is something about doing shadow work or psychotherapy that's happening so fast.
Yes.
That, and in a group session that I'm just so delighted about. So that's happening simultaneously. It's one of the last classes I'll teach for the uni, probably. But it's happening at the same time as I'm doing all this writing work, at the same time we're leading up to this eclipse. So it does make the whole thing kind of makes sense. It's like shadow work skills that can be done fast.
Yeah, that's all what I'm all about, you know.
And I know
that's I drink ayahuasca. It's the fastest shadow work I know. And of course the invocation,
but you know, when people are training to be counselors, they don't want to hear about ayahuasca. They don't want to break the law. They have to be other techniques as well. So.
Well, give it a little time.
Give it some time. Yeah. Okay. Look, no, that really helps. I just somehow needed to like pull that together. So that's good. Thank you.
Yeah, well, Vivian, if you have Pluto at the midheaven, then I would interpret that as saying one of your jobs is to transmit positive expressions of the Pluto archetype out to the world.
I understand that being asked to die and die and die and die and die and die and die is very mild, really, because there are always new things.
So. Yeah, you die to one thing, you wake up to another, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Good. So good on you. So keep expressing to the world your wisdom and your inspirations around your healing and your dying processes. And remember that archetype is also wealth and power.
Yeah. Same
archetype. So when you do your shadow work well, you do grow into more wealth and power, however you define those terms.
Yeah. So, and he's also married to Persephone. So don't forget that really, that there's a layer of stuff around that, which.
Well, yeah. I mean, Pluto has a dark side too. Yeah.
No, I don't think that's dark. I don't interpret that like that.
I was just thinking of how we got hooked up with the Persephone in the first place, the dark thing, yeah.
Well, perhaps, but perhaps she was also naive but quite willing. We don't know. But my sense is that it's a very rich marriage, actually. Mm. Yeah. We can talk about that another time. It's just that I don't think that Pluto is just a male archetype. And so...
Oh, no, it's Kali too. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah. Okay, this is an astrological conversation. But that is also relevant to me, so thank you. Thank you. Look, I think you answered my question. I've had a big rave, so excuse me, everybody.
Yeah. No, it's been great.
Sorry.
Jeannie, go for it.
I think we have time.
We do. Go ahead.
I have a question finally. I've made a lot of comments, which I appreciate you and everybody letting me make, because I learn that way when I speak as well as when I just listen. Good. So thank you. But when we were talking and Sarah's caretaker, his dad committed suicide, and then I started thinking, you know, my go-to invocation was one I learned a long, long time ago. So it's not, you know, fitting into our model of maximum embodied awakening or maximum healing or maximum clearing of negative energy or whatever. But is there one, a custom invocation that you have come up with for, like, when somebody feels entities? But it doesn't have to be an entity. It could be unseen, unwanted, negative energy. That's one of the things on my list when I do a formal clearing. Uh-huh. We're talking about doing things on the fly, and that's what's so wonderful about invocations. You know, you might not have time to do a formal whatever that you're used to.
Right.
So have you come up with one that's standard, but it's custom to that?
I don't have a standard, but it's easy enough to construct it. You just basically, invocation is asking for what you want. So if you've got an entity you need cleared, you say maximum clearing of all dark entities in my field to the greatest extent that serves highest good.
Yeah. And then, like, I have one in some courses. I think my confusion, the reason that I would ask, even though I'm doing this a long time, is that I've been taught that every time there is, like, an illness or there is whatever to be healed, an emotion, it doesn't really matter what it is, and something's awry.
Yeah.
Our quote unquote natural state of being in unity, you know, with one, with a lot of things. And I don't know how you feel about that, but the way I was taught was that we have wounds, soul wounds, mm-hmm. this lifetime, many lifetimes, so on and so forth. But when we have the healing, like, I can feel it because I was trained this way for so long, that the guides and the healers and the angels come in and they rewire that section, because the soul is actually a tissue. You know, it's subtle. All our organs that are chakras and whatnot are subtle.
Sure.
All the many chakras, but they are organs, and mm-hmm. they are subtle, and they can be like little vortexes or whatever the organ is.
Sure.
But the area of the soul, that very, very delicate tissue, is electrons and, you know, electromagnetic waves. It's waves and particles. Mm-hmm. And of course, like you always tell us, you know, there's no way we can know how to do it, so we let the guides do it.
Right.
They're technicians. They're very specific. They're surgical technicians. There's teams and teams and teams of them that come in. And like with your heart palpitation, mm-hmm. you don't know who or what, but you know somebody was doing something, right?
Exactly.
And so the way it was described to me is all the rewiring of the electromagnetic waves and particles was going back to its natural state of being healed. And then therefore it helps the whole field, and the right. soul unfolds and unfolds and unfolds. And when we go into deep, every single time we get together and we do the invocation and we do the calling of the guides, and we have ceremony that wakens cell memory, mm-hmm. that we unfold more and more of our soul. And at the end, when we finish, it takes us a few minutes. We can't type. We can't speak. because our soul is like, it's like a balloon that unfolded and unfolded and unfolded. And then it has to sort of come back.
Right.
To be sort of more, you know, not so expanded and open. So I don't know. I guess my question is twofold. Do you believe that every time something's awry, that there's a wound, and that can be, you know, a soul wound, and it can be healed, rewired, whatever you want to say? Or is there, or that's just too much analytical, who cares, and let's just ask for what we want?
I say ask for any healing that you think is possible. You know, in my book, I give the example of Stephen Hawking, who I believe from the soul level chose to be paraplegic in this lifetime. And that was a done deal. No way around that one. But who knows what's possible until you try. It makes perfect sense to me. I'd never heard it described in your beautiful poetic way that you just did, but I totally believe we can experience soul level healing, you know, if we request it or if it's time for it.
You don't think we do that every single time we call in an invocation, that we're doing soul healing?
We're getting healing at whatever levels we need it, you know. I can imagine the healing happening not just at the human level, but at higher levels up as well, at whatever level is appropriate. And whether the human part is conscious depends on how conscious that human is in those levels. So I, you know, the healing could go way up the chain. So I think all of what you're saying is possible, that healing could go up to many higher levels. You know, I've always just, you know, in my teaching, I've always just focused on the human level because that's where most people are concerned. And that's, you know, where the main work is to do when you're in a human body. But if you're conscious in those higher levels, I don't think there's any reason that you couldn't call for healing at those higher levels as well. And like you're saying, some of it might be happening anyway as an integral part of the healing process. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I still, I'm going to ask one more time. Yes or no. Do you think that every time that a person is sick, every time a person is triggered, every time a person experiences that which is not light,
mm-hmm.
that their natural state is light, that there is a wound that is caused by dark forces? It can be entities, negative energy, however you want to refer to it.
Oh, let me think.
Yes or no. Every time there's a thing like that triggers us or makes us sick or whatever, that there's a wound that needs to be healed lineage wise or who knows wise. And it was originally caused by either entities or unwanted negative unseen energies.
My answer would be no. I don't think that's necessarily the case every single time.
Okay.
I think there might be other possible sources.
I do too, but I don't know what they are. But yeah, I do too.
But the beauty of the invocation is you don't have to know.
Right. Right. Well, I'm good with that too. I'm totally good with that.
Yeah, but it's a great question.
Can I say something?
Please jump in, Vivian.
First of all, I feel like as souls, we don't need healing. At that highest level, we're already totally complete and at one with divinity.
Mm-hmm.
That's my perception too. Yeah.
I do feel though, on the journey into incarnation, we only bring part of us with us.
Yeah.
And incarnate into a stream of heredity, culture, language, earthly circumstances, political and social environments, and physical substance of earth, all of which have certain rips that make us they're not quite how they would like to be.
Mm-hmm.
And as we encounter those different layers, we experience pain. And it's either pain at a physical level through an injury or an inherited situation, or it's a soul pain or it's relationship pain. And in our healing, our encounter and our attempts to heal that, we also enter into new relationships with those places and with those other beings and with human beings, that actually every healing is not just for ourselves but for a whole community of beings, and that the whole earth is changed every time we go through our lives and offer something back to, so that the divine beings that we are, as a, and at the level at which we are actually not really separate, we're one human soul, actually grows. So as perfect as we are, that perfection somehow increases or becomes more of what it is. So so this is quite metaphysical discussion, but the place of difficult entities is that they are beings in that process who have some way taken on an individuality to perform a certain role, and they usually don't have to. So in as we experience in Benjamin's shamanic work, they're allowed to go home and do what they want to do. They don't have to stay here and cause havoc if we don't welcome them to do that. So that's where we get an extra boost in healing to make it a bit faster. Anyway, that's my perspective on the whole thing.
Now, that's just a bigger story of what I was taught, because I was taught exactly like you're saying, and that when we were not even, like you said, you know, we come down to incarnate, we go through all the levels that you just went through. Well, before that, there were levels above that when we were just a little baby soul. You know, when we were very first little baby soul, and then we were like in a nursery with other baby souls, and then we had and we were allowed to play with the dark side because we needed to know about it. We needed to know it was there. So we had wounding way, way back.
Mm-hmm. And the dark side is, of course, a construction too. Right. And I think that's right. Something to play with as it comes out of duality. So, yeah, these are big metaphysical things, but
it's the same thing.
How you prefer to construct it as you go about your experiences, really.
Well, I'm just saying that I was taught by somebody who used how you construct it. She had constructed it in a way that, the way I explained, that the soul wounds could be all what was worked on when we heal whatever we're healing. You know, these soul wounds, and that the origin was most likely, you know, something that we had a run-in, like your soul is delicate, right, and you take a curling iron to something and it burns it, and then they fix that.
But the woundedness, it is my story. The woundedness is about a part of our soul that carries a karmic history, maybe.
Yes.
And I love the idea, and this comes from Rudolf Steiner, that after death, or in transcendent states, we're totally within each other. So there are no karmic difficulties because we understand each other perfectly, and those and we only pick those things up again when we get back to the moon sphere, and we're really ready to then try to resolve things when we're in human incarnation. But in those other realms, we're not wounded souls.
No, we're not.
it's only when we get here that we pick up those those old stories and try to work them through another layer. Look, I don't know, everybody has different views on this, but I'm just wanting to respond to the idea of being wounded souls.
Well, I've learned tons from what you're saying, because I can go either way. I can go with the people that need to categorize it as having dark entities and negative stuff. And then there's people like you and Spirit Song and even Benjamin and say, you know, that's not the emphasis. You don't have to always, you know, that's not the only way to think. I mean, it's okay to go ahead and think, like you're saying, at some level, you're not wounded at all, mm-hmm. period. And then just go from that. So it's just interesting that I can do both, because I have the duality thing pretty strong.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I can relate to people who want to talk about, oh, there's dark and light. And then I can relate to oh, you know, it's cool just to live in the light and forget all that other.
Yeah, there's, you know, it's important that each person adopt the viewpoint that works best for them in actuality. Mm-hmm. You know, I teach the way I teach because I'm working from my current worldview, which I'm always open to changing if I get a better insight. You know, in terms
you do of both too. I mean, you do both. You cover, you do shamanic ceremony that clears whatever we don't want, you know.
Yeah.
And you can do both.
And you know, I'm heavily influenced by the Law of One channel material and the way it describes the universe and all that is. And here in 3D, they say, well, there the dark beings are necessary to catalyze the beings of light, because the dark beings can see what the wounding is of us light workers, and they'll do their best to take advantage of it, therefore alerting us there's something to work on. We might be kind of oblivious otherwise. And so they helpfully try to take advantage of our weakness or our trauma or our wound so we can heal it up. And then that, because of the great onion concept that I bring in, then that healing automatically wakes you up some more.
You know, I came up with something today about what we're talking about that has to do with what you just said. You know, the Tolkien stories with the dragon.
Yeah.
When one of the movies has a lot of the dragon in it, and I happened to flip a channel recently and saw that, and it was today, and
Smaug.
Yeah, Smaug and his magnificence and this and that. And I thought, well, that's what entities are. That's what the dark is. It's like, we want to be wowed. We want to be in awe and, you know, just truly, you know, magnificentized by divinity. And so if we can't do it by seeing this beautiful light in that, then we create something dark, and then that gives us our awe. That we're looking for the wow factor of divinity. And if we can't get it through the light, we'll just jump over and create stories about the dark.
Yeah, if you're still stuck in getting a wow factor, the more you awaken, the less there's a need for that, in my experience.
It's more the middle road.
I'm just happy to be walking in bliss and equanimity the best I can. Yeah. I don't need a lot of catalyst beyond that.
I don't hear you use the word wonderment, but I wonder if your bliss often has wonderment.
Especially when I'm having strong ayahuasca experiences, yeah. Like that 5D I was talking about, that was as wonderment as I've ever gotten. Just the profundity of that and the extraordinary experience of being in that that thick puree of just intense divine energy that was so intense I couldn't even stand it at first. Yeah. So that was wonderment. That was awe for sure. For me, it takes moving to, you know, a new level like that. That's the easiest way for me to experience awe and wonderment like that. Yeah. Because that's my juice. I love the interstates and moving to new levels. So that's where I'm more likely to be awed and appreciative of wonder.
Well, I appreciate your Aquarian viewpoint of all our uniqueness and how we need, each one of us needs to approach whatever it is. Thank you.
Yeah, totally. Take the best and leave the rest always. Yeah. Wow, this has been amazing. This is going to be a fabulous archive recording too. Anything from anyone before we wrap it up?
Thanks for calling us together. I have to go now. So, and thank you.
Yeah, and special thanks to Jeannie and Vivian. You both are so wise, and I always love it when you show up and share your deep wisdom. Thanks for honoring us with your presence. You're really deeply awakened souls, and I'm very grateful to have you here. Thank you.
Garrett Song was here tonight. Wow.
Yeah, and you too, of course.
Yeah, it was beautiful to be with you.
But also such contributions from everybody, because that's what makes it possible to share. So,
Yeah.
Hey, thanks. All right. See ya. It's a sunny day. I've got to go do things.
Right.
You got to
enjoy. Enjoy your day there.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks everyone so much for being here. It's been awesome. One of our best Ask Us Anythings ever. And we'll see you again next week for next week's events.
Yeah. Blessings and love.
Blessings and love. And allies, go if you must, stay if you will. Please remain with anyone who will be benefited by your continuing presence. Where would you have us go? What would you have us do? What would you have us communicate, and to whom? Thank you. Whew. All right. We're done. Bye.